You take a moment, pass your cups into the middle on either side, and the servers will come past and we'll grab those. That's good. Amen. We're going to get ready to get into the Word for a few minutes today, and there is no children's church this morning. There are some children's bulletins over on the literature rack if you need those. That's helpful. We appreciate that and look forward to the kids having children's church next week. As the ushers come past, we're going to prepare to read the scriptures together. We're going to be reading from Luke chapter 15, the Gospel of Luke chapter 15. And we're reading, let me get this straight in my own mind, we're reading verses, I don't have it written there, 1 through 6, I believe. The gentlemen know. As I mentioned earlier in the service, Christoph was supposed to preach today, but because of illness, he's not going to be able to. And so I have the opportunity, and you all have to deal with it. You have to suffer through it. Amen? Let's read the scripture together. Please stand with me. Luke chapter 15, 1 through 10. Let's begin to read together. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear him. And then that's number three. We need number two. There we go. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." And then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. And then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Does she not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angel of God over one sinner who repents. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated. And I'll ask Randy Denny to come pray over the word this morning.
Lord, we just praise you, Lord, today that we're gathered in your place. And we just pray your hand over Pastor Tom that your word would go forward, your spirit to have its full way, Lord. Whatever you want, that you be praised in Jesus' name. Amen.
Bear with me. I got that thing hung up on my necklace, and we won't worry about it right now. If you haven't turned to the Gospel of Luke 15, please do. And we are looking this morning at this passage, verses 1 through 10. We have our missions festival beginning next week, and it is always a highlight in our year as we celebrate and hear the reports of what God has been doing all across the world as our missionaries come and visit with us and stay with us. And we have appreciated so much the work of Kurt and Kim Lynch and their kids and the presentation of all the flags for missions. And appreciate the joy getting the two countries this year. And we'll surprise you with those this coming Saturday at the missions banquet. So again, make plans to come to that. So we have this missions festival that we're going to be celebrating. Why? Why do we have a missions festival? Why do we have missionaries that we send to various places throughout the world? Why do we do that? In fact, why do we send them in some places to very dangerous lands? You heard Brother Randy, as he was praying earlier, he mentioned that we got communication from national headquarters that all the missionaries that had been in Mali were evacuated on Friday. As you know, in Mali, they have Muslim militants have come into the country and control the northern part of the country and have been pushing down, taking control of cities one by one. And finally, 2 weeks ago, the French sent in military forces along with other unified Malian forces and a couple of other countries, neighboring countries, a unified force and have begun to push the militants back. But the problem is, as with any enemy, there are always pockets of resistance, and there have been terrorist threats against our missionaries. And so they have felt led to pull them out of there until it becomes safer, and they're trusting the Lord for the next step. So what do they do? What will they do? Why do we send missionaries? Why do we do this? The reason is because we have a missionary God. We have a missionary God who sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to be a missionary to us. When you think about it, God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to be a missionary to us. Well, what is a missionary? As we talk about missionaries, as we talk about those who seek to save the lost, a missionary is one who is sent with a mission. That's what it simply means. One who is sent with a mission. The original word is apostolos, and of course we know the word apostle, and we think of the apostles in the New Testament. And really all that meant was it's not really a title like reverend. I don't know whoever came up with that title. That's kind of a silly title, isn't it? You know, what makes a person reverend? Am I more reverend than you? No. And so we call them apostles, but it simply means that they're missionaries. They've been sent with a message, sent with a mission. And we're told, of course, that Jesus is our apostle. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. Jesus is a great apostle and our high priest. And so Jesus is the apostle. And then in John 3:18, it says, 3:17, it says this: For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, no, but to save the world through him. God sent his Son as a missionary, one sent with a mission. What was Christ's mission? He was sent into the world not to condemn the world, but to save the world. And so Jesus is our great missionary. And so as we think of missions and we think of God and what is this all about, it's all about God sending his Son to us, and then we in turn send others all over this world to spread that good news. Jesus was, he told us what he was all about. Luke chapter 19, verse 10. He said, For the Son of Man came to seek and to save those who were lost. The Son of Man came to seek and save those who were lost. That's you and me. And that's Jesus' mission. And so as we think of the main point here in this passage and in these parables is this. A large part of Jesus' mission was to pursue lost people, because we are of great value to him. Let me say that, just that portion again. Jesus Christ, his mission, a large part of his mission, was to pursue lost people because we are of great value to him. And then in turn, we are to pursue people, lost people, in our lives. We, like Jesus, are to then go and pursue lost people in our lives as Christ pursued us. And of course we know the cross is the ultimate act of pursuit. The cross of Christ was not an accident. It was God's plan for Christ to bear our sin upon the cross. And think of it this way, it's God's ultimate act of pursuit of you and me. God loved us so much. God sent his Son because he loved us so much and pursued us even to the cross. He did everything for us that we cannot do. He does everything to save us, to pursue us, everything except force us to come. He will not force us to come to Him. He draws us, He woos us, He calls us. And as we talked about just a few weeks ago, we must surrender our lives and embrace Him as our Savior. When we think about this for a minute, what do we pursue in our lives? Think about that for just a second. What do we pursue in our lives? We pursue those things that we value, do we not? We pursue things that we value. If we value having some finances so that we can take care of our family and pay our bills, we value work, and so we go to work. You know, we talked about that a week ago, right? I owe, so off to work I go. So if we value work, we're going to pursue it. And there's other things that if they're of value to us, we pursue them. And the problem, of course, is that we get our priorities wrong. We get our priorities out of order. And we often will pursue things that we shouldn't really pursue. And then the things that we should pursue, other people, even though we say we value them, we don't really pursue them, or we don't usually give too much effort or too much priority in it. Aren't you glad that Jesus wasn't like us? Jesus was not like us because, you see, His entire life and ministry was about pursuing you and me. He pursued lost people. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save those who are lost. Maybe you've never thought about it in a personal way like this, but think about it just for a second. Jesus Christ came and pursued you because you are of great value to Him. You're not just one of the masses. When we think about that verse, I know, especially when I was younger, you know, you memorized it, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world." And so you start to think of yourself, well, I'm you know, one person among the masses of the world. But you see, Jesus came and pursued you and me personally. Because by His Holy Spirit, He is able to pursue each one of us personally. He is able to speak to, communicate, put His hand on, convict, draw, inspire you and me personally. And so God came to seek and to save through Jesus Christ, you and me personally. Because you, my sister, my brother, you and I are of great value to the Lord. I hope that encourages you. I know sometimes in this crazy world that we live and in our culture, which so many times we just sometimes feel so isolated, you know, even though we're in this crazed age of communication, you know, like with every week they come out with the next greatest phone, you know, first it's the iPhone, then it's the 3G and the 4G and the 5, you know, who knows what's next. And we're in this great, you know, age of communication, but people still feel alone and alienated and isolated. But there is one who knows you. We often sing that song, He knows your name. He knows everything about you. And before you ever came to Him, He knew you. In all of your life, all of your situations, He knew you. And He still seeks to save and pursue each one of us because we're a great value to Him. Let's unpack it in the few minutes that we have together. Number one, Jesus, the Holy One, hung out with sinners. Watch this. And they wanted to hear what He had to say. Isn't that what we just read in verse 1? Verse 1, it tells us now, the sinners and tax collectors, the tax collectors and sinners, were all gathering around Him to what? Hear Him. The tax collectors and the sinners, you know, tax collectors then were even more notorious than tax collectors today. Now, if you work for the IRS, I mean, no offense and no insult, you know, but we have in our minds, oh, the tax collector, you know, the tax man trying to take my money, You know, and of course that in that day, tax collectors were notorious because not only did they collect the taxes, but they took a cut on top of it. So if you owed $100, they would put down on the bill you owe 150, and 50 of that goes in their pocket. So that's how tax collectors made their money. And anyone who worked for the foreign Roman government was considered a traitor. And so tax collectors were looked at as traitors, especially if it was a Jewish person that took on the responsibility of being a tax collector. They were looked at as, you guys are traitors. You have no business working for Rome, and you certainly have no business taking our money. And so tax collectors were considered the lowest of the lows. And then this phrase, sinners. And it's put in quotes. And there's a reason for that. The reason for this word being in quotes is because it's in contradistinction to the righteous ones. Who were the righteous ones, or who were the ones who thought they were righteous? Well, we are introduced to them in verse 2. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Wow. When I hear that, that makes me thankful. That makes me thankful that Jesus was willing to hang out with the likes of me. But you see, these people, the righteous ones, quote, they thought they were better. They were self-righteous. They thought that, you know, as far as God was concerned, you know, they were the cream of the crop. And Jesus has something to say to them. So, interestingly, the tax collectors and the sinners were gathering around and they wanted to hear what Jesus had to say. Isn't that interesting? Let me ask you a question. As you talk about Jesus Christ and what he's done in your life, are people around you interested in hearing? Does your message come across as winsome, as something that would draw people? In other words, would give them hope, would give them some encouragement, would give them some basis for why they would want to hear you? Or is it one of condemnation? You know? Oh, you dirty, rotten sinner. You better repent because you're going to hell. I mean, is that the kind of attitude and message that you portray as you interact with people? You see, that's the kind of attitude that the Pharisees and the teachers of the law had. They had this legalistic, self-righteous attitude, and nobody wanted to be around them. In fact, they didn't even like each other. They were constantly fighting and quarreling with each other. And so we have to remember, watch this, we have to remember that Jesus, who is the Holy One, is he not? Jesus was called, often called, the Holy One of God. And the Holy One of God hung out with sinners. The holiest of holies. Yet he hung out with sinners. Yet he kept his purity and his testimony. You see, we are called to be like Jesus. We're called to first bring glory to God in our lives and everything that we do, and we're called to be like him, to be holy. So wherever we go, whatever we do, wherever we are called first to be holy and pure and keep our testimony. I remember it wasn't too long ago that someone was kind of sharing with me. They said, you know, I stopped in such and such a bar. I don't know if that was Jesus or not, but this person stopped in a bar and they started telling me that they had begun to have a conversation with a particular person and how they started talking about Jesus. And I was just listening and they said, "By the way, Pastor, I said I had a Diet Coke." Are we having some problems or? Okay. So, this person was quick to say, you know, "Oh, by the way, Pastor, I'm having a Diet Coke." And the thing is, you see, you got to keep your testimony. If you're sitting in the bar and you're sucking down suds or you're throwing back some drinks, it's going to be kind of hard to explain to somebody that, Jesus has set me free. Can another one? Can another one, please? Another one, please? That just ruins your testimony. You see, they tried to criticize Jesus that way. In fact, they call him a wine bibber. They called him a drunkard. But see, he kept his testimony. He kept his testimony. He kept his purity because wherever he was, he knew the first thing in his life was to glorify God. So he kept his testimony. And you and I need to keep our testimony. First thing is that, are we pursuing holiness in our lives? You see, we looked at that last week, or a week before that, that God has saved us for what? That we would be conformed to the image of His Son. That God calls us so that we would become more and more like Jesus. You see, so then when we hang out with lost people, we're doing it with the right motivation and the right testimony. That's why Paul says, do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Oh, I'm free. I'm free. And some of you are sitting here and say, well, Pastor, you know, Scripture doesn't say anything wrong with having a beer. No, I'm not saying that. You know, I believe Jesus probably had a glass of wine along with them. That's not the point. The point is, if that's something that's mastered you, if that's something that has become an issue, become a problem, that's what I'm talking about. You can't be a testimony to somebody about allowing them to be free when you're not free. That's my point. And so, are you and I pursuing holiness? Are we pursuing that testimony so that we, as we interact with lost people all around us, we have something to share? And we have the respect so that they're going to listen. And then he gives a parable, as I move on in this. Parable number one. He gives this parable to illustrate his point of how he has came to seek and to save the lost. Parable number one. One lost sheep out of 100. So he gives a parable, verse 3-7. So Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you had 100 sheep, and he loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go to the lost sheep until he finds it? After the lost sheep until he finds it. And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. And then he calls his friends and his neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep. I tell you that in the same way there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than 99 persons who do not need to repent. What's he saying? He's saying, look, just like a person who loses one sheep out of 100 and that person goes and pursues and looks for that lost sheep, and then when he finds that one lost sheep, he rejoices together, so much so that he calls his friends and his neighbors together to rejoice with him. That's what the Son of Man is like. And then he puts the punchline is this, heaven rejoices more with this one person who repents, this one lost sheep who repents, than with 99 who do not think they need to repent. The self-righteous ones. You see it? You see, Jesus is more interested in you and me as the lost ones, as the ones who come and seek Him and know, Lord, without You, I'm lost. See, He often likens us to sheep. And here's the deal. We are like sheep. And in many, many ways, you see, sheep don't know that they're lost. Isn't that like us? Sometimes we don't know that we're lost. Sometimes, you know, we've wandered so far away from the Lord and, you know, we think everything's fine. You know, we're like that little sheep that's wandered away from the flock and it's off there, it's near a precipice of a cliff, and that sheep is eating grass and thinks everything's fine and it doesn't know that it's about to fall off the cliff. And that's the way we are sometimes. And so Jesus gives this beautiful parable. He says, look, the one who loses the sheep goes after him. He's speaking about himself here. Watch. He's speaking about himself. He says he finds that one sheep. And when he finds that one that's been lost, he joyfully takes that sheep. What does he do? Does he beat that sheep? I'm trying to make sure you all wake here. Does he beat the sheep? No. What does he do? He puts the sheep up on his shoulders and joyfully embraces that sheep, carries the sheep home. Now, I do know, I saw a couple of you looking at me, I do know there's a reason that sometimes he puts the sheep on his shoulders. Why is it? David? He has to break their leg to keep them from wandering. Yeah, now that's another sermon. In fact, I preached something on that, Hebrews chapter 12 and the discipline chapter. And we'll get to that. We'll get to that. But the point is, and even in that, he breaks it, breaks the sheep's leg out of love to keep that sheep from wandering. And he puts that sheep on his shoulder, gratefully embraces that sheep, carries it back, and rejoices. Listen, listen, my brother, my sister. God, through Christ, rejoices over you. He rejoices over you. I think a lot of times Christians have this idea that God's mad at them. You know? God has this chip on their shoulder towards you. It's not that way. It's not that way. God has taken care of our sin in Christ. And so He joyfully reaches out to each one of us, wants to gather us in, wants to make us His. He leaves the 99, seeks out that one, and rejoices. And so there's rejoicing in heaven, much more so than the 99 who do not need to repent. What's Jesus saying? That's a little tongue-in-cheek, right? That's a little satire there. The truth is, they do need to repent, but they don't think that they do because they're looking down on others. Then he gives a second parable. Well, let me before I go to that, we just read in verse 2 that the Pharisees and teachers of the law, they mutter. Don't you love that word? They mutter against Jesus. Oh, he hangs out with sinners and tax collectors. And so, just the point that I want to make, as we hang out with people, with lost people who are considered sinners, there's always going to be critics. Always going to be critics. Just like Jesus was criticized, so you and I will be criticized. If you're trying to reach out to somebody, you know, and maybe they're not considered by the proper and the righteous as somebody who is, you know, in the clan, so what? Jesus was not worried about the criticism, was he? He took it, turned it around and said, it's not about that. You see, church is not supposed to be a museum for saints. The church is a hospital for sinners. It's the place that we come to be found by God and to be healed up and freed up and allow Him to make us into what He wants us to be. And so that's okay. Jesus didn't worry about those things. Again, we keep in balance that He kept His testimony. He kept His holiness. Number two. Since there is great rejoicing when even one person repents, our attitude should be one of loving pursuit as we share the gospel, the truth of the gospel. Our attitude should be one of loving pursuit. I get greatly troubled sometimes when I talk to certain people in the way that they're coming across and presenting Christ and presenting the gospel. You know, it's like a club they use to beat people with. You know, and people come away feeling condemned rather than the gospel of Christ, which is the gospel of hope. You see, we are sinners who have been forgiven, who have been found, and we are simply to offer this to others so that they too can be found. I had a conversation with someone not too long ago, and they said, well, you know, you have to help them understand that they're sinners. Really? I thought that was the Holy Spirit's job to do that. Now, I know there's a time and a place that we help them to understand the commands of God, and they have broken the commands of God. We all have, amen? We've all broken God's commands. But, you know, you're not going to convince somebody that they're a sinner by arguing with them. You're not going to do it. You're going to build resentment. You're going to make them, you're going to offend them. And see, the gospel has its own offense. You don't need to offend somebody in your presentation. You see, so we should be lovingly pursuing them, speaking the truth. Please understand, I'm not saying softening the gospel because Jesus is very clear here, is He not? He says, for one who repents. And that's the key in the gospel, repentance. And you've heard me preach on that 100 times. You know I don't shy away from it. So repentance is the key to salvation and knowing Christ, not praying a prayer and accepting Jesus. That's, you know, that's a prayer. Repentance is something God works in my heart. And so we should have this loving pursuit of people, sharing the gospel. For Jesus says, He rejoices, heaven rejoices, because one sinner repents, more so than the 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. It's a tongue-in-cheek. There are those that don't think they need to repent. You and I aren't going to be able to do much about that. You can pray for them. But if someone is stuck on that, it's the Spirit of God that has to help them to see that they need a Savior. Amen? They need a Savior, and it's a spiritual issue. So we too should have great joy, as it was for Jesus, as it was for the Father. We should have great joy when people are coming to Christ, when people are seeking Him. I don't know about you, but when I come together on Sunday morning, I'm just thrilled. I'm thrilled that you're here. I'm thrilled that you would come and listen to me. You know? But I'm thrilled that you're here. Because I know it's more than just coming to a service and singing some songs, as beautiful as that is, and the worship that we have, and hearing the Word. I know God is working in your hearts and in your lives, and He's drawing you to Himself. And to me, that's such a beautiful thing. And some of you, you know, you've been coming for a short time, or maybe even today's your first time, and we're so glad that you're here. Because this is a place for us to come and draw near to God. We have all been lost, because without Christ, we are lost in our lives. I remember as a young man, I was raised up in the church, even though we weren't necessarily true followers of Christ. We didn't really understand salvation. And I remember as a young man, you know, I started going to a Bible study on my own. It wasn't through the youth group, and it wasn't through our church. It was a group of people that got together to study the Bible. And as I turned 18 and, you know, you kind of get out on your own a little bit, I decided, you know, I kind of like to check this out. I had a few friends that went to this Bible study, and it was kind of cool. They all had, you know, big, thick, curly hair like I did, so they kind of accepted me. And so I started studying the Bible on my own. And you know what? I began to understand that I'm a sinner. You know, it wasn't because my parents were telling me. It wasn't because my Sunday school teacher was telling me. It wasn't because the preacher was telling me, even though that church, he didn't tell you. I began to understand on my own from God's Word. As I read His Word, it began to explain to me that I was a sinner. I was lost. You see, and each one of us has to come to that. But what joy there is that we're not left there. That to understand that I'm lost, and just, you know, that's it. We're stuck there. No. I'm lost, but there is one. There is one who has sought me. There's one who has came to seek and then to save me, to bring me to Himself. Amen? He has come to bring us to Himself. My brother, my sister, He has come to bring you to Himself, because you are of great value to Him. And He loves you. He loves you so much that He died on the cross to save you, so that you can be His. And then He gives this last parable. He says, this next parable, parable number 2, one lost coin out of 10. He goes on to say, suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. By the way, in the original, it's a drachma. A Greek drachma was equal to about one day's wages in that day. So let's fast forward it to today and say, let's say it's a coin that's worth about $200, $200 or $300 today's market, okay? So she has 10 of these. Man, she's got a pile of money here. She's got a handful of money. And somehow or another, she loses one of those coins. Now, we have to understand that in those days, the houses that they lived in, first of all, they didn't have windows like we have today. They were made of stone, and they didn't have windows. And they had dirt floors. And so if you drop a coin, how many of you know, if you drop a coin on a dirt floor, man, it's not easy to find. And so Jesus says, she gets out the broom, and she sweeps up all the cobwebs, and she is shifting up the dirt, checking for that coin. She's looking for that coin. Because why? It's of great value to her. And so it is, the Son of Man seeks us. She makes a great effort to find that coin, and then what happens? She rejoices when she finds it. Again, another picture of God finding you and me through Christ, and then rejoicing over us. There's great rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God, when one sinner is found and repents. And so as I close the message today, I say this: Jesus pursued you and me. He pursued us. And maybe you're here today and maybe you don't feel like you're found. Jesus is here for you. You see, you don't have to find Jesus. He finds you. In fact, you can't find Jesus, because no one can come to Him unless He draws us. And He will find us. So if you're here today, Jesus has pursued you. And we have been found by Him. And so Jesus leaves us with the question: who are you pursuing? Who are you pursuing in your life? God has given you and me, He's given us great treasure. He has shown us as beggars where to find bread, spiritual bread. And so He says, look, go and tell others. Share the treasure that I've given you. And so as we celebrate missions, we're doing that throughout this world. But what are we doing in our little corner of the world? How are we sharing that treasure? Who are we pursuing? You see, because I'm not sure if standing up on a sidewalk or on a little wall and proclaiming the gospel of Christ, I'm not sure if that works very well anymore these days. There are so many voices out there that people just tune you right out. And they immediately shut you off because they think you're a crazy person, you know? And so just as Jesus pursued those, and you notice, they came and they hung around Him, didn't they? They came to hear what He had to say. You got this sense that there was some exchange, there was some interaction going on. So it is, you and I have to have some interaction, some pursuing. Who are you pursuing? Who's the friend that God has put in your path, in your life? Who is that friend that God has right there, and how are you pursuing them? Well, first thing is you've got to pray about it, right? You've got to be bathed in prayer. And then you just begin to reach out in love. Why? Because they're of great value to God. Therefore, listen to me. Listen to me. They should be of great value to you and me. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, thank You for loving us so much and pursuing us so that You saved us, Lord. Thank You that You came to seek and save that which was lost. Those of us who are lost. And Lord, we were all lost. And one day, Lord Jesus, You found me. And I'm so grateful. And Lord, my heart is for everyone here that they would know Your love. That love that found us out. So Lord, if there's anyone here today that doesn't yet know You, Lord, they haven't been found by You. Lord, would You find them today? Would You seek them and save them even today? If you're here today and maybe you don't understand much of all this Jesus stuff, but you feel Him tugging at your heart, and you know that the words that I have shared, you know it's true because you sense Him pursuing you. You sense Him drawing you, calling out to you. If that's you today, I want to pray for you. And I'm so glad that you're here, and I believe Jesus is thrilled that you're here today. So I want to pray for you if that's you today. If that's you today, would you raise your hand so that I can pray for you? If that's you today and you sense Jesus pursuing you today, would you raise your hand so that I can pray for you? Amen. Anyone else? You sense Jesus pursuing you today. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, open the hearts of these who You're pursuing. May they know Your love. Save them, Lord, that which only You can do. Lord, we open our hearts to You. We're going to pray a prayer together, all of us, as a response to His love. Let's all pray this prayer together. If you pray this after me, dear Father, thank You for sending Jesus to seek me and save me. I open my heart to You, Lord. I want all of you. And I give all of me to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. As we close, we're having a prayer, especially if you have a physical need and you want to be prayed and anointed with oil. According to James chapter 5, our elders will anoint you and pray for you. So please take time if you have prayer need to do that. And we're going to do our fellowshipping in the lobby so that we don't disturb those who are being ministered to up here. And good reminder, thank you, Mike. Again, the Haiti information, it will be in the library for the Haiti missions trip. So please take part of that if you'd like to find out more about it. Let's stand and receive the benediction together. Let's stand. And now that grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the grace that has found us out, and the love of God our Father, the love that sent Jesus, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, the one who indwells us so that we can know and serve in the new way of the Spirit. Bless each one of us. Enable us to walk close to you this day. Throughout this week, and Lord, may we serve and pursue those who you put in our path. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you all. Take time to greet each other before you go.